how much pain we suffer that we never suffer. Here's what I mean by that. You look at an incident and you go, oh my goodness, this is like, this is that, and it never happens. Your worry and your anxiety never comes to pass, but meanwhile, you've experienced almost like it was. Why? Because you sat around going, oh, this happened, or you responded to a rumor. It happened to everybody in here. Somebody goes, hey, Drew, so-and-so, did you hear this? Oh my gosh. Some people have left churches, left jobs, left spouses over unfounded rumors. Wow, how much we could avoid.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. At The Bridge, David McGee has assisting pastors, and one of those is Neil. Welcome to the program today, Neil.
Bob, great to be here with you today as we close out 2 Samuel chapter 13. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about rumors. Did you hear about that, Bob?
I've heard something about you, Neil, and I was just wondering.
Well, I heard something about Randy or Matt. Can we talk about it right now?
I think we better get in with the program here.
Oh, wait. We got to be careful of taking action based on rumors. Pastor David's going to be sharing a little bit about that today.
Awesome. Well, let's drop the rumors and listen to David McGee as he finishes up 2 Samuel chapter 13 with his verse-by-verse teaching.
Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. While you're turned there, let's quickly review, you know, what happened in 11 and 12. David falls with Bathsheba. And then Nathan comes and tells him a story about this shepherd and the sheep. And it's easy for David to see the sin in the other people, which is a trait that we have as well. And at this point, David has confessed. God has forgiven him. But God also said, you know what, David, because this happened, the sword's never going to depart from your house. And so we're going to see this fulfillment in this chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, why are you the king's son becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand. Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So you see how David gets involved in this thing? And David, he's being deceived. And you have to wonder, did he actually pray about this or didn't? You know, I have to think some buzzer, some bell went off in his head that he didn't listen to. Verse 8, so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. And they all went out from him. That's the first warning sign. I mean, this is getting set up. Verse 10, then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food in the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. Those words should never go together. Come lie with me, my sister. That's just wrong on a lot of different levels. Verse 12, but she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. So she's trying to reason with him. Verse 13, and I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. She's saying, go to David, tell him that, you know, you love me and you want to marry me and maybe he'll do it. Now this is kind of sad. It's kind of a sad commentary that she thinks David will do something that's in violation of scripture. Let me ask you a question. Why would she think that? Because of Bathsheba. And we're going to see that David's kind of dealing with that. And I wonder how differently David's response to his kids would have been if he wouldn't have been suffered under the shame and the guilt of the issue of the thing with Bathsheba. Verse 14, however, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise and be gone. Cold and calloused. He raped her and then said, I'm done. Get out of here. I hate you. Love can turn to lust, but it's a very rare thing that lust turns to love. It's a very rare thing. And what we see here is lust turning to hate. How to tell lust and love the difference? Well, one of the ways is, well, we're told love is patient, love is kind, love does not seek its own, is what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. See, love seeks to bless others. Lust seeks to bless itself. And in a relationship with somebody who's just always seeking to bless themselves, then that would appear to be a lustful relationship. But if they're seeking to bless others, then there may be love. If a man, well, I guess I should flip that around too. If you're a man and a woman's pushing you to do something physically, sexually, and you're not married, there's a problem. Be careful. I love that saying, true love waits. Verse 16, so she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. She's saying, you know what? That you raped me was bad. The fact you're trying to now send me away is worse. Why? Because there was an understanding of this happened that the man would do the honorable thing and then marry the woman. And now he's not only dishonoring her through rape, now he's dishonoring her even more, saying, get out of here. Get out of here. And her response is interesting. Verse 17, then he called a servant who attended him and said, here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her. Verse 18, now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and took her robe of many colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. She tore the sleeves off and her actions, what she was doing was she was actually going through the motions of mourning a husband who had been killed or died. This man had taken something from her that he never should have taken. Let me share something with you. If you're a young person in here and you're a virgin, be so careful. In years of being in ministry, I've never spoken to one person who regretted waiting. Not one. But I've spoken to a lot of people, all of them, who regretted not waiting. Heard the story about this girl. She was in high school and everybody knew that she was waiting until marriage and they would make fun of her, you know, Snow White and all these jokes, you know. And she prayed and she said, Lord, I don't know what to tell these people. And after much prayer, she felt like the Lord spoke to her. And so they started picking on her one day and she stood up and she said, you know what? Who I am is God's gift to me. My purity is my gift back to God. And she said to them, she said, you know what? And keep in mind that any weekend I want to, I can go be like one of y'all and not be pure anymore and not be a virgin. But you guys can never, ever, ever again be like I am now. Remember that, young people. Once it's gone, it's gone. Now, I believe scripturally, I believe theologically that if you blow it, you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. And Jesus will do that. But what we're seeing in this chapter is a lot of times the consequences of the forgiven sin are still there. And you may pay for them for a long time. And they're not always in correlation to how deep and dark the sin is. I mean, there's people out there that catch AIDS first time they're with somebody. I don't understand that. Doesn't necessarily seem fair to me, but I'm not the judge. The consequences are often more than we thought they would be. And when lust is involved, people get hurt. When love's involved, people get blessed. When lust is involved, people get hurt. Verse 20, and Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Let me explain. When David sent for her, she was in one house. She couldn't be in that house anymore because that was a place for the virgin daughters of the king. She couldn't go back to that house. And Absalom said, you can come live with me and I'll protect you and I'll take care of you. A loving brother. However, there could be some mixed motives here with Absalom that we're going to get into in just a minute. Verse 21, but when King David heard of these things, he was very angry. That's good. He was angry, but apparently he didn't do anything. He didn't address this issue with Amnon. Why didn't David do this? Well, understand, he was David's firstborn. He was hesitant in that regard. You know, the law didn't call for the execution of Amnon, but it did call for a penalty. But David doesn't do that. Why didn't he do that? He probably felt like if he'd have done that, Amnon would have turned around and said, "Oh yeah, what about you, Dad? You want to tell me that whole Bathsheba story again?" And so David didn't say anything. You know, I think this is probably one of the most effective tools that the enemy uses against a parent. There is no perfect father. There is no perfect mother. There's no perfect father other than God. So if you're going to let your sin keep you silent in regard to raising your children, guess what? You're never going to say anything about nothing. Now, I'm not saying that gives you license to go do whatever you want to do. No, you've the most powerful lessons are not the ones you say, they're the ones you do. I'm not giving you complete, utter license to go do whatever. But understand, at some point, at some level, there is going to be that. Well, Paul says this. He says, you know what? The things I want to do, I don't do them. The things I shouldn't do, I know I shouldn't do. I end up doing those things. This was Paul. And we all have in us, it's called a dichotomy. We all have in us the part that wants to do good and the part that wants to do bad. And sometimes the part that wants to do good, we're doing well. And sometimes the part that wants to do bad, we're doing poorly. But we're still parents. We still got to speak to these issues. And yes, your child is going to throw that in your face as often as you allow it. And you know what? If you've done wrong, look at your child and say, you know what? Forgive me. You're right. That was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But that doesn't mean that what you did now is okay. So be careful with this one. David was an incredible leader, incredible king, but you know what we're seeing? He was a weak father. I mean, there's just no other way to put that. There's no other way to... He was not a very strong father figure, and he made some serious mistakes. And we're looking at one of these mistakes. He got angry. His anger was justified. That was good. But he didn't do anything. Now, I'm not saying that he should have acted in anger, and I've said this before. If you're going to correct your child and you're angry, wait until you calm down, if at all possible. Sometimes it may not be possible. But if you can, you calm down because you don't want to correct in anger. It'll give your child the wrong message. Some other correction was needed here. David should have sat down with Amnon and said, Amnon, you blew it, buddy. What were you thinking? And David, really, if you think about it, rather than being unable to minister to Amnon in this way, David was just the perfect guy to minister to him. To say, hey, man, you know what? I've been where you are. This has happened to me. And you know what? I regret what happened. And here's what happened. I came back to the Lord. You know, Nathan told this story. I got busted. I repented. And this is what you need to do, Amnon. You need to go back and tell Tamar you're sorry. And Absalom, you're sorry. And then you go on from here. He didn't do that. And, you know, throughout the Bible, we, you know, speaking of weak fathers, we see in some of the spiritual heroes of Moses, less so Eli, but Samuel, Moses, Samuel, David, three very strong men, had some serious issues as fathers. And, you know, a lot of times it's interesting because children come back and say, well, I ended up this way because you were like this, or, you know, Dad was like that, or Mom was like that. Well, wait a minute. Everybody makes their own choices. Here's the deal. God is the perfect Heavenly Father. We still rebel against Him. We still rebel against the perfect Father.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 22. Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Amnon was the firstborn. There's another that was secondborn, but we're not told about him outside of his birth. So most people believe that he died as a youngster, which left Absalom the thirdborn, which meant if Amnon was out of the way, Absalom would appear to be the next in line for the throne. Now, I can't say how much this was involved in the decisions that Absalom made. I don't know, but I think it did play a part. Verse 23, and it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal-Hazer, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. Then Absalom came to the king and said, "Kindly know, your servant has sheep shears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." Now, sheep shearing, big party. You know, once a year, you collected or harvested their wool, had big feast. Yeah, sometimes drinking was involved and kind of a big deal. And Absalom saying, "Hey, I want to invite you, king, and all your servants." Verse 25. But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go now, lest we be a burden to you." And then he urged him, but he would not go, and he blessed him. So David's saying, you know, if I bring all the servants and everybody in my household to your sheep shearing party, yeah, that's going to be too much food. It's going to be too much of a financial burden to come and do that. In verse 26, and Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" David felt the check. He said, "You know what? I don't know about this. Why should he go with you?" But let's watch what happens. Verse 27, but Absalom urged him. So he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. David gave in and for the rest of his life regretted it. Why did he give in? Absalom urged him. Boy, there's a lot of parenting stuff in here, isn't there? Now, this is one of these areas I'm teaching as we should be, not necessarily how I am, okay? My kids are going, amen. David should not have let Absalom urge him. He said, no, why should I do this? And he allowed Absalom to talk him into something. Parents, are you with me? See, because sometimes you'll say no, and understand, if you say no, that should be really the end of discussion. That's what we convey in our house. Once a no's a no. It's a no unless you can get your mom to twist my arm. It's a no. And if there's still discussion after a no, it's no longer a question. It's really active rebellion. They're not explaining their case. The time for explaining their case is before you make your decision. Once the decision's made, it should be done. If you're a parent, you've done this. I've done this. Let me be honest. I've done this. I've said no. They've said da 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 da, and I said, oh, okay. And then I came back and thought, man, why? What was I thinking? Now, gratefully, unlike our scriptural passage tonight, it didn't end in death like it does for David and Amnon. Absalom urged him, so he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Verse 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Watch now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant." Verse 29. So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got on his mule and fled. These men were loyal to Absalom. Here's really the beginning of the rebellion. We're going to find out later Absalom is in rebellion to David, but let's be honest, he's already in rebellion to David. He's just seeing the opportunity now to exploit this. And these men should have stayed loyal to David, but they didn't. Why? They didn't like David's decision concerning Amnon. And when Absalom said, "Hey, we're going to kill Amnon," they're like, "Yeah, cool, great, justice." It wasn't justice because Amnon hadn't killed Tamar, he had raped. Now that's wrong, but the sentence was not execution. Shouldn't have been. But that's what Absalom did. David, in not correcting Amnon, ended up costing him his life. Because he sent Tamar to Amnon, Tamar lost her virginity. And because he sent Amnon to Absalom, Amnon lost his life. As a parent, do you see what's at stake? Because, you never know. You never know. Here's what the Bible said was supposed to happen. Deuteronomy 22:28 says, "If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin who is not betrothed, and he seizes her and lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who lay with her shall give to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all his days." This whole thing is David sowing what he reaped. And here's the life lesson. The lasting fruit of even forgiven sins can be very painful. David knew, I think, at every passing moment. And the next few chapters, they're tough chapters. They are tough chapters to see David go through these things. Verse 30, "And it came to pass while they were on the way that news came to David saying, Absalom has killed all the king's sons and not one of them is left. So the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the ground, and all his servants stood by with their clothes torn." So get the picture. Absalom had Amnon killed. Then somebody comes to David and said, "Hey, you know what? All your sons have been killed." And David grieves, tears his clothing. His leaders tear their clothing. Was it true? No. What were they doing? Responding to a rumor.
Glad I've never done that.
Every one of us has done this. Every one of us has, if you could hear this, this will avoid so much pain and heartache in your life. How much pain we suffer that we never suffer. Here's what I mean by that. you look at an incident and you go, oh my goodness, this is like, this is that, and it never happens. Your worry and your anxiety never comes to pass. But meanwhile, you've experienced almost like it was. Why? Because you sat around going, oh, this happened, or you responded to a rumor. It happened to everybody in here. Somebody goes, hey, so-and-so, did you hear this? Oh my gosh. Some people have left churches, left jobs, left spouses over unfounded rumors. Wow, how much we could avoid. Here's a life lesson. Be careful of taking action based on rumors. Before you act on something, make sure that it's a fact. Verse 32, then Jonadab, the son of Shimea, pops up again. David's brother answered and said, let not my lord suppose they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for only Amnon is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. You know what I'm wondering? How does he know that? How does he know that? There's only a couple ways that he could know that, and none of them are good. Was he involved in plotting and the execution of Amnon? Probably. Why would he do that? Well, think of it. At some point, he's probably thinking Amnon's going to pop up and go, well, you know what? Jonadab told me to do this. This was the counsel that he gave. And so with that, I think he probably contributed to this plot. Verse 33. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead. Verse 34. Then Absalom fled, and the young man who was keeping watch lifted his eyes and looked, and there many people were coming from the road on the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said to the king, look, the king's sons are coming. As your servant said, so it is. So David was mourning the death of his sons who had not been killed because he had listened to the rumor. Verse 36. So it was as soon as he had finished speaking that the king's sons indeed came, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled out and went to Talmai, the son of Amminahab, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon because he was dead. That's an interesting verse. Comforted because he was dead. David knew something needed to be done, but he wasn't willing to do it. And Absalom took action. And this in part caused division among the people that it's going to be a steep price for. Again, Absalom could have avoided a lot of trouble if he came at this point and said, you know what, King David, dad, father, I messed up. I had Amnon killed. I was mad about Tamar, and I shouldn't have done it, but I did. But he didn't do that. And what happens is he's led to a lot more trouble. And that's what happens. Unconfessed and unrepentant sin leads to a lot more trouble. We have the saying, you know, and I hate it. Y'all have heard it. Don't get mad, get even. That's great advice, isn't it? Do you ever really get even? Has anybody in here ever sought revenge? And when you had that revenge, you really felt good? No. And something happens in our heart and in our minds when we play out these scenarios of these various things. Francis Bacon said, in taking revenge, a man is but even with his enemy, but in passing it over, he is superior. I know some of you have been wounded. I've been wounded. I don't want revenge. I don't want to carry it around. Because I know in carrying it around, something's going to happen to me, in my heart, and in my mind. I'm going to nurse it till it's like a poison in my veins. You don't want revenge. Our faith is a faith of forgiveness and grace and mercy for things that have been done to God and things that have been done to us. Some of you are still carrying stuff around that you need to let go. Because as long as you're sitting and you're saying, well, the reason I am who I am today is because this happened in my past. Do you understand? You're in bondage. Because what you're saying is, I can't be the person God created me to be because this happened. And friend, I'm not going into details. A lot of things happened to me as a small child. A lot of very bad things happened to me as a small child. And if I was still in bondage to that, I would not be the man of God I am today. I'd be held captive. But through the grace of God, I've been set free to be the person in the Lord that I am.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. and I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.